Good evening. Welcome to Council Connection for the month of August. I'm your host, Steve Dresser. This month, we turn our attention to the National ACB Conference and Convention, which took place in Sparks, Nevada, from June 30th to July 7th. We'll be talking about scholarships. We'll hear from Kim Charlson, ACB President, as she gives her report. And we'll start out with BSCB President Brian Charlson as he gives us his perspective on the ACB National Conference and Convention. Good evening, Brian. Welcome to Council Connection for the month of August.
The month of August. Can you believe it? I'm telling you.
I know.
I had a wonderful time this year at convention. How about you?
Yeah, it was, I did some interesting things. I took a tour of the planetarium. It was a three-in-one type of tour. It was the planetarium, the...
Wasn't there one on mineralogy?
Yes, there
was.
Yep, that's right. It was mineralogy, and we were going to go to a natural history museum, but we didn't get to go there. But even without that, we just ran out of time is what happened. But yeah. Even with the other two, there was some fascinating stuff in the planetarium, one of which... things was they had a model of the sun, which was about 30 feet tall and about 40 feet across. And so when you walked along the side of that wall, as it were, that represented the side of the sun, it was so big that you couldn't even feel the curve. And, of course, that was impressive enough. And inside that model of the sun, they also showed movies, and we got to see one of those. But the thing that impressed and humbled me most was they had a scale model of the Earth that was scaled to the size of that sun, and it was the size of a baseball.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, again, just the proportional differences in these things. I remember, because I got to do the pre-planning for that particular tour, that they have a marvelous globe of the moon.
Yep.
And another one of the Earth, and they're both turning in time with the actual rotation of those orbs.
That's right, and we got to see that. They had an interesting thing where you could, it was kind of a demonstration of what would happen if you dropped something down a black hole, and you got to drop these little balls down into the black hole, and they would start, you could kind of hear them rolling around inside the thing slowly, and it would get faster and faster and faster, and then it would just kind of...
blink.
Yeah, exactly. It was...
pop out of existence,
yep,
so to speak.
Yeah,
was, exactly. Yeah, that was a great tour. Did you get to do any other tours?
No, I didn't, and I wanted to do the train museum. And I didn't do that because I had some obligations with AABT that I needed to be at, and so I just didn't get to do that. And that was the other one that I really wanted to do and just didn't get to do.
Yeah. I did only one tour this year. I went to see the Reno Aces AAA baseball team play a game.
Oh.
It was great fun because in the small group that I was in, about 15 people or so, one of them was from Australia and had never been to a ball game before.
Oh, how
and
about
if
that?
You want to really have a laugh, have 14 Americans try to describe the rules of baseball to one Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite something. But we had a great time. Great time.
That's good.
I came back with my souvenir baseball.
Good.
And my souvenir baseball cap. So I'm all set for that year.
Yeah.
Now, I did a number of other things that I thought were interesting. We did a wonderful session using the Orbit Reader. This is the new refreshable Braille device.
Yes, yes.
That's under $500 in price and will allow you to slide an SD card into it and be able to read what's on there in refreshable Braille in a much more effective way than we've ever been able to afford in the past.
Is that actually selling in the United States now? Because
yes, indeed. They sold 20 of them from APH as a distributor at the ACB convention, another 30 of them because others had arrived by the time of the NFB convention.
Right.
So 30 of them. So 50 have been sold.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, here in Massachusetts, The Perkins Braille and Talking Book Library has put in an order for 200 of them.
And we'll
be distributing them to 200 Braille readers as part of a research project.
Mm-hmm.
And the kickoff of that research project is this Thursday, which would be, what, Thursday the 3rd?
Oh, well.
Right?
Yeah, then on the same night as Council Connection.
Exactly. So 10 individuals will get the first 10,
mm-hmm.
but they're anticipating that the balance of them will come in over the course of the next 6 months. And we'll be seeing a lot of Braille being read, refreshable Braille being read here in Massachusetts very soon.
And
so that was a fun thing that we got to do at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be a volunteer auctioneer at our big auction fundraiser.
And, of course, we know that you do that for us every spring. And
that's right. Love those auctions.
Did it feel different being in the big auction?
Well, yes, because two things were true. One is, I only got to auction off 10 items, and at the base date, it's closer to 30 items.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is that we do it as a team. So I auction off the item, and Kim reads the description. This was kind of fun this year, because just before we came in to do the auction, we had been out to dinner with a representative from Amazon,
mm-hmm.
working with some future technology updates and the like, and we had been to a Mexican restaurant. And you know what you do when you're at a Mexican restaurant, Steve?
You eat Mexican food.
And you drink margaritas.
Margaritas.
And I think that the two margaritas that Kim had made her Braille reading skills somewhat less than they normally are.
Oh, no.
But we all got a laugh out of that. Anyway, but it was fun. There was a couple of funny things that occurred. I know of one person who bid quite high for an item. They thought it was going to be, I think, one of the new Victor Reader Stream Trekker combinations.
Oh, yes. I did get to see that at the
And they
the
bid. Booth. It turned out that what they were actually bidding on was a handmade Afghan.
Oops.
Hardly interchangeable.
Yeah.
Kim did a similar thing. She thought she was bidding on a necklace. When it turned out what she was bidding on was a ceramic scent infuser.
Oh, boy.
Now,
wow.
You can't exchange that. No.
I've never done anything quite like that, but what I have done a couple of times, which is embarrassing, is to bid and then discover that I was bidding against myself because I was the last person who bid and I upped the ante.
You know, that happened one time during this convention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the new head of the American Foundation for the Blind is a childhood friend of mm-hmm. Kim and I.
Oh.
His name is Kirk Adams.
Okay.
And he was there. And one of the things we auction off at the convention is dinner with the president.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't actually back from dinner when that item came up and was sold. And when we got into the room, we found out that Kirk Adams had purchased it, and his first bid was $500,
mm-hmm.
which is a good, nice sum. I mean, it's a moneymaker.
Sure.
And then he bid against himself later for $1,000.
Oh,
so
boy.
He ended up buying it for $1,000.
Oh, man.
Bidding against himself.
Yeah.
So I don't think you did that, did you, Steve?
No, I didn't. And they gave me a pass, too, because they just said, hey, you bid against yourself. You can't do that. So fortunately, I didn't get penalized.
You didn't
but I could
have. Pay the higher price, yeah.
You know,
I could have. So other things that were great at the convention this year, I thought that the speaker at the banquet was exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
She was the woman who did the audio description of the Olympics this year.
Okay.
So that made for a very interesting presentation.
Mm-hmm.
We also had, I thought that Peter Korn from Amazon did a spectacular presentation of the Fire TV.
Yes, I did. I did hear some of that.
And it's amazing. It's amazing enough that when I got home on Amazon Prime Day,
mm-hmm.
I bought one.
Wow. Okay, so
I've got
you
a new 55-inch TV in my living room that has accessibility built into its
mm-hmm.
entire
mm-hmm.
workings. So that's pretty exciting. And It also has Alexa built into it.
Okay.
Did you get to go to the exhibit hall at all?
I did. And actually, I not only went to the exhibit hall, but I spent vast amounts of money in the exhibit hall.
What did you walk away with?
I walked away with
the most remarkable.
Well, I walked away with two things. I walked away with an L Braille, which I decided I really like. I was very daunted by it when I first got it back to my room, because you've got a Braille input keyboard, and you've got to do all of the JAWS commands and all of the Windows commands, and in fact, every command that you want to use on the system, including your arrows and everything else, using the Braille keyboard. And that ain't easy to do.
Nope. It'll take you a while. Are you at that point now where you don't have to think, you just press?
Pretty much, yeah. I do every once in a while, but the thing that I really love about it is that it is a fully functioning Windows 10 machine. And I am doing things with a note taker that I've never been able to do before. For instance, the other day I scanned in using OpenBook, which is on the machine. I scanned in a PDF that was an image, converted it to text, and did that all on my note taker. And I've never been able to do stuff like that before.
That's excellent. You said you got two things.
I did. And the other thing I got was a new Juliet 120 embosser, which is replacing an ancient Braille Express 100 that I bought. And it kind of malfunctioned very soon after I bought it, and I decided the thing was just way too big and bulky, and this thing prints as fast as the 100 does anyway, and it lighter. I mean, embossers are much lighter than they used to be. This one weighs, I think its total weight is 16 pounds. And that's
a terrific.
Far cry from
it. And it has a pretty fast output.
Yeah, 120 characters per second, which is, pretty fast.
I did a fair amount of shopping myself. Nothing as extreme as your story. But I did, I've got a new roller tip on my cane.
Good.
That has an electric generator in it so that as it rolls, it sparks colors inside.
Oh.
So, you know, if I get really bored, I just spin that and, you know, the world gets to see my fireworks.
Yes, yes.
It's totally, totally frivolous.
Well, let's just hope that somebody doesn't drive off the road looking at your cane instead of doing what they're supposed to do, because you wouldn't want to be responsible for that.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. And then, you know, I bought a new power bank for charging devices. In my world, and it seems like everything needs charging. So yeah, the exhibit hall was great. What other great thing did I do at the convention this year that I really enjoyed? I got to meet Madeline Bizard, the
excellent
talking book narrator. Something like 1,500 books.
Wow.
In her career. Yep. So that was.
That's always the high point, too, of the convention with the every year, of course, for those who have never been. They bring in one of the talking book readers, and we get to talk with the reader. And, well, as part of the general session, the reader usually does some kind of a presentation. And then those who are members of library users get to have an in-depth session with the reader. A few years ago in Louisville, they had Jack Fox there, and Marcia and I were actually lucky enough to have lunch with the gentleman.
There you go.
See? With Jack and with his daughter Jill.
There you go.
Yeah.
And eventually the library here hired them to come up and do a special session training their volunteer narrators up here in Massachusetts.
Yes, yes. I heard that.
People who don't know Jack well might recognize his voice because it is a great number of the nation's airports.
Yes.
Have his voice as the one announcing security and you know, all that kind of fun stuff. So we get to meet wonderful people that we wouldn't have otherwise had a chance to meet. That's important. And the other part of convention I've grown to believe is kind of like my family reunion.
That's right.
You know,
we get to be with people we don't see but once a year.
But once a year, and they're important people in our lives.
Yes, they are.
But it's a little difference between talking on the phone or doing Facebook or chat or whatever, and actually being able to sit down and complain about, you know, the price of a hotel meal or whatever.
While you're eating a good hotel meal.
Yeah, while you're eating a hotel meal, exactly.
Yeah.
So that to me is a huge part of it. Of course, we do the business, you know, got to do elections,
yep.
and that was kind
yep.
of expected, you know.
Yeah,
everybody
of course.
Who was in office, well, I shouldn't say everybody, so Kim was reelected president. Dan Spoon moved up from a board member to first vice president.
That's right.
John McCann stayed second vice president.
Yep.
We also kept Ray Campbell as secretary.
Yep, as secretary.
And then we have a new treasurer because Carla Ruschevold
termed out. Yep.
So we have a good friend of ours, David Trott from
mm-hmm.
Alabama,
mm-hmm.
taking over the reins
yep.
there.
Yep.
And because two board members became officers, two new people came on as board members, Doug Powell from Virginia.
Yep.
And let's see if you remember the other person.
You know, I'm drawing a blank. And you're not going to help me out here, are you?
No, I'm going to let you hang.
Nice guy. Just remember, Brian, I still have the power of the button.
Let me think. Can I remember who the other person was?
Well, we may hang together on this one then.
I think we might. Anyway, so we had elections. We also elected a new person to the Board of Publications. But it was a very, very good convention
all around,
I thought.
Yes, it was.
And I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah, in St. Louis.
In St. Louis. Have you ever been to St. Louis?
I never have. Never have.
Well,
so I'm looking forward to that.
This time, the tour I'm going to make sure you go on is up the Arch to the West.
Yes, yes. I've heard that's quite interesting.
It's a very peculiar thing to go up an elevator that not only goes up, but over.
Oh, wow.
You feel like you're on, you know, the elevators in the Enterprise, where no matter what floor you got on, you got off on the one you were looking for,
yes,
vertically
yes.
and horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very strange sensation. You'll enjoy it.
I am looking forward to it, sir.
Okay, so other than what I hope is elsewhere in this issue of this important broadcast scholarships, I just wanted to say congratulations to all those folks out there who did earn a scholarship, because these are really earned.
Yes,
you know,
are.
Sometimes people talk about them like they're a prize, like they drew your name out of a hat. But these young people all had spectacular biographies.
Yes.
Incredible marks in high school and undergraduate work, much higher than I ever achieved.
That goes for me too, Brian.
From all over the country.
That's right.
And also some pretty amazing choices of careers.
Yes, yes.
That I would never have expected when I went to college.
I know.
And again, they show such leadership skills.
Yes, they do.
Another thing is we had the president of our student group here in Massachusetts get an opportunity to go to the convention as well. That's Daisy Russell.
Yes.
She got a chance to go as a J.P. Morgan Chase Leadership Fellow and go through a week's worth of leadership training during the convention.
Oh, wow.
And she's already... I just heard her speak to a group of college students the other day, and she's already putting her newfound knowledge and skill and competence to work.
Well, that's terrific.
You know, young people absolutely are the future. I'm also very aware that more than half of blind people are older people like you and me.
Well, but, you know, at least there's an up-and-coming half, and that's going to give us something to look forward to in the next few years, because we get to sit back and watch the fun.
Amen to that.
Yeah, it looks like you had a good time at the convention. I spent a lot of money and also had a good time, and the only thing I can say is if you've never attended an ACB convention, you really should do yourself the favor to go to at least one. And if it's not next year in St. Louis, maybe the year after in Rochester, New York. And it's an experience like nothing you'll ever do in your life, and well worth doing.
Agreed.
Brian, good to speak with you, and we'll look forward to another update from you in September.
You got it.
You're listening to Council Connection on the Talking Information Center Network. The show also airs on the second Tuesday of the month on ACB Radio Mainstream at 9 p.m. Eastern. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit www.acbofma.org and look for the Council Connection. Every year, as part of the National Conference and Convention, ACB presents a number of scholarship winners from various affiliates, including BSCB. As Brian said, the scholarship winners are a talented group of people with very diverse goals that are difficult to achieve. Let's listen now as Scholarship Committee Chair Michael Garrett announces the winner of the Bay State Scholarship and introduces Amber Steet, the winner of the Marsha Dresser Memorial Scholarship, presented by the American Association of Blind Teachers. Michael?
The winner of the Bay State Scholarship is Matthew Schifrin. Matthew is from Newton, Massachusetts. He is attending New England Conservatory, majoring in contemporary improvisation. Matthew is not able to join us because he's in New York as we speak today. He's a lead singer in an off-Broadway production of, now help me with this, Amitamai? Is that the name of the production? Oh, Kim doesn't know. If you're an off-Broadway buff, that's where Matthew is. So we did want to recognize him. Our next recipient of the Marsha Dresser Memorial Scholarship is Amber Steet. Amber is from Kutztown, Pennsylvania, where she attends Kutztown University, and she's majoring in elementary education with an emphasis in teaching visually impaired students. Amber says she wants to pay it forward because she's received so much, and by doing so, she's a member of one of my favorite service organizations, the Alpha Phi Omegas, and she also belongs to a number of other service organizations. Amber?
I'm right here, sir. Good morning, everyone. You know, I don't have a speech prepared, which is fine because I really do prefer to speak from the heart. And because this scholarship is in memoriam of such a wonderful person who is now a member of the angels on the other side, you know, speaking from the heart really is the best way to do this. It already meant so much to me that I was receiving this scholarship, but when I read Marsha's biography yesterday, in the exhibit hall at the Angel Wall, I'm going to be honest, I nearly started crying because my heart was so touched by it. And I had spent the past few weeks just wanting to know her more. And so between talking to Steve Dresser, who was her husband, and reading this biography, I feel like she has really been brought to life and that I know her way more, and that even though she's on the other side, she lives on both in my heart and with us in spirit. I feel very honored that I am getting to be part of this legacy. So, of course, I have the scholarship committee to thank for choosing me, but really, I feel like the thanks goes to Marsha and her family for, you know, putting this opportunity in front of me and allowing me to pass on the torch that she passed to her students, to my future students. Thank you very much, and have a good time at the rest of the convention.
You're listening to Council Connection on the Talking Information Center Network. I'm your host, Steve Dresser. As part of the first general session of the ACB National Conference and Convention, the president summarizes ACB's accomplishments over the past year and gives us a roadmap to ACB's future. Here's ACB President Kim Charlson to give us her report for 2017.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is again a true honor for me to come before you for my fourth report as president of the American Council of the Blind. Time keeps flying by, and I have much to report to you since our conference in Minneapolis last year. ACB continues to address many issues and advocacy challenges since last we gathered together. I'll cover the highlights and how we are dealing with them over the next several minutes. First, I'd like to deliver some very important and well-deserved thank yous. It is widely known that the everyday work of ACB is carried out by our small yet highly dedicated professional and administrative staff. In our Minnesota office, we rely on Lori, Lane, Dee, and Nancy to keep the business wheels turning. In our Alexandria office, we have ACB Braille Forum editor Sharon Levering, who works hard to make our lives and the lives of blind and visually impaired people everywhere better by producing a top-notch publication filled with information about the important work of ACB, among her many other duties. Tony Stevens continues to do more advocacy and governmental relations work than ever before, representing ACB on a broad range of blindness issues, attending meetings on Capitol Hill, writing regulatory comments, letters, and testimony on all of our key issues. Kelly Gask continues to be an invaluable member of our ACB team. She has many valuable skills, and we continue to learn more of her numerous talents every day. She is coordinating our social media presence on Facebook and Twitter, and she is an endless source of articles of keen interest to the blindness community. Pulling this team all together is our executive director, Eric Bridges. He has amazing skills at knowing the right people for the right situation, building relationships, fundraising, and guiding the organization on some very major advocacy and legal initiatives. Eric keeps me informed on so many fronts, outlines work to be done, and plans activities for the future growth of ACB. It is a pleasure and honor to work with him, and I have great confidence that he is working hard every day to guide our organization into the future with solid position of strength, effectiveness, and success. Working alongside all of our strong staff are several contractors that do specific work for ACB in a variety of areas. Tom Tobin is our hardworking director of development. And partnering with him is Jolynn Bailey Page, our grant writer. Together, they are working on building a strong foundation for ACB's financial future. Joel Snyder, director of our audio description project, and Larry Turnbull, managing director of ACB Radio, both continue to work extremely hard for ACB. I extend to all of you a special thank you and commend you all for your efforts on behalf of ACB. I want to recognize and thank the members of the ACB Board of Directors and the members of the ACB Board of Publications for their service. At the close of this convention, two members of the ACB Officer Corps will be concluding their term of service. I want to especially thank Carla Rushival from Kentucky, our treasurer, who was not able to be here, but I know she's listening. Carla, listen to everybody give you a warm round of applause for the many years you've served as treasurer. Jeff Tom, our first vice president, will also be stepping down from that position, but I have a feeling he'll continue to serve in other ways and be a valued leader for ACB in the future. Finally, let me acknowledge the help I receive every day from Brian, who has many responsibilities himself, but never fails to give me the support I need to get ACB's work done. In 3 weeks, we will be celebrating our 38th wedding anniversary.
Yeah!
And I am sure Brian would appreciate your help in talking me into a cruise for our 40th. I seem to have this issue with big ships. So, if you all can tell me how wonderful going on a cruise is,
Do it!
Brian will pay you later. And not far away is my life sister, Vicky, who is always there to help and support me in what I do. Thank you, both of you, for making it possible for me to serve ACB. I love you both. ACB's growing exposure on Twitter and Facebook continue to give ACB much more recognition and visibility in the social media realm. Thank you to both the Twitter and Facebook teams for all you do. For those of you who want to follow this convention on Twitter, use the hashtag ACB17. Now, to the real nuts and bolts of my report. As you all know, the real work of the organization isn't the moments of success and press releases and passage of legislation, but rather the day-to-day work advocating, writing letters and testimony, and developing and supporting our ACB infrastructure to ensure that we have the financial resources to work on our mission and get the job done. Earlier this evening, ACB hosted our third annual Giving Society reception. This year we had 223 individual donors and 40 corporate donors. These supporters are the backbone of our fundraising, which then allows us to accomplish our valuable work. These initiatives all go far to make it possible to support ACB's organization work and advocacy. Thank you to every one of you who make it a priority to give to ACB. It is much appreciated. One corporate example of our growing capacity is the generosity of JP Morgan Chase, whose support has allowed ACB to once again this year bring 5 leadership fellows to this conference and convention. These individuals have been identified as up-and-coming leaders in their affiliates and will be participating in many aspects of the convention, learning and growing their knowledge and leadership skills. You will meet them a little bit later this evening. Last year, ACB's Volunteer Hours Reporting Program collectively logged a total of 17,758 volunteer hours. That's your hard work as volunteers in this organization. That in-kind contribution to ACB is worth over $420,000. That helps us to show other foundations and organizations just how hard the members of this organization work on our important issues of the day. Public education is an important part of ACB's work. Filmed at last year's convention, Eric and Rebecca Bridges are featured in ACB's latest video discussing raising their adorable, nearly 3-year-old son, Tyler. Following its launch, both with and without audio description, their positive message about blind parenting and that it can be successfully done with alternative techniques has been watched on YouTube and Facebook by over 16,000 viewers. acknowledging that parents often say that raising children is one of the most rewarding and challenging stages of life, people always wonder, how could you do it if you were blind? ACB's video tells the story of how two parents who happen to be blind are loving, laughing, and adapting as they raise Tyler, who loves books, trucks, airplanes, playing, and exploring the world around him. Check out the ACB YouTube channel and view the video. Needing to have more data to support our audio description advocacy efforts, last year ACB developed a national survey on described audio content. More than 489 people completed the survey, which identified major demand for the increase in available audio description programming on television, broadcasting, satellite, and cable programming. A tremendous amount of solid research data was gathered and has helped ACB to support our advocacy with statistics reflecting our perspective. Research findings indicated that 3 out of 4 respondents felt the current amount of available audio described content was significantly below demand, and other obstacles still exist for accessing currently available content. 75.3% of respondents strongly agreed that a greater amount of audio described programming is needed. ACB continues to assert that the demand for audio description will continue to rise for the next 2 decades. ACB was disappointed in mid-November when the Federal Communications Commission withdrew the agenda item to consider the expansion of hours of audio described content for television. Because of ACB's continued efforts, I am pleased to report that on July 13th, the FCC will be reconsidering the report and order, which will increase the required hours of described programming that is covered by broadcast stations and that what they provide for consumers from 4 hours to 7 hours. So stay tuned for a positive outcome on the July 13th vote. This year, we have been dealing with several attacks from a variety of directions to the Americans with Disabilities Act. In December, I sent a letter to CBS on behalf of ACB, expressing my deep disappointment that the 60 Minutes segment aired on December 4th, 2016, which despairingly cast a negative light on the ADA. Anderson Cooper's segment mischaracterized the ADA as an instrument of opportunism for drive-by lawsuits rather than focusing on the role it has played along with the court in protecting the fundamental human and civil rights of more than 55 million Americans with disabilities. My request was for 60 Minutes to revisit the issue with a balanced lens that does not threaten the civil rights of Americans with disabilities. To my knowledge, they did not choose to accept my challenge. On another note related to the ADA, ACB is working to prevent the passage of the ADA Education and Reform Act, H.R. 620, by Congress. This bill, if passed, would prohibit civil suits arising out of a failure to provide adequate access to public accommodations for the disabled unless the plaintiff provides the offending property owners with a written notice specifying the deficiency. Owners would then have 60 days to respond with a written plan for improvement and an additional 120 days to correct the deficiency or at least demonstrate sufficient progress toward a correction. Today, last time I knew, any citizen with a disability denied access in this country can immediately file a complaint with the U.S. Department of Justice. I don't think that's reform if we have to wait 180 days or more. The passage of H.R. 620 would mean that individuals with disabilities would be forced to wait 180 days and likely longer to seek resolution of their federally protected civil rights. When you receive a request for your assistance to fight this negative legislation, please do what you can to protect our rights under the ADA. Are you getting hungry? Well, ACB is working to protect your right to buy a good meal. Have you tried ordering from one of those inaccessible tablets on many restaurant tables? How about an inaccessible app? Well, ITSA, the self-proclaimed restaurant of the future, with New York, Washington, D.C., and California locations, is excluding blind customers. Its high-tech ordering and food pickup process fails to include existing readily available usability features for blind and low vision individuals. ACB, in cooperation with Disability Rights Advocates, DRA, a national nonprofit legal center, has filed a class action federal lawsuit along with individual plaintiff Michael Godino, a New York resident and ACB member, who is legally blind and cannot access ITSA independently. ITSA employs no waiters or cashiers. Instead, patrons order their ITSA meals through a smartphone app or at one of a number of the in-store ordering kiosks. These kiosks consist of Apple iPad devices mounted and framed on a stand. When the food is ready, the customer's name appears on a screen along with a number. The number directs the customer to a cubby where he can retrieve his food. The entire process is silent. Strikingly, the audio jacks and home button required for accessible options are covered by a frame, and no tactile features exist on the kiosk. Moreover, ITSA's phone app is also inaccessible to screen reader technology, and the food pickup process has no audible or tactile cues. While ITSA's kiosks continue as an option to request assistance from an employee, this feature, like all the other features on the kiosk, is inaccessible to blind customers. ITSA is a growing national chain and has received considerable attention for revolutionizing automated self-serve technology in the food service industry. ACB is seeking an injunction against ITSA's further discrimination of persons with disabilities and a comprehensive plan from the chain to provide blind patrons independent access to ITSA restaurants. In addition, ACB continues its advocacy as part of a group of organizations appealing the dismissal of a case in the Central District Court of California, Robles versus Domino's Pizza LLC, where the plaintiff, an ACB member, claimed he could not successfully order pizza from the Domino's website because it could not be accessed using his screen reader. ACB signed on to an amicus friend of the court brief to appeal the dismissal of the case to protect the ability of blind individuals to be able to independently access a business website. It would seem that around every corner, including with dining, we have to continue to be diligent and persistent to ensure ongoing access even to our next meal. On the legislative front, our thanks to Representatives Carolyn Maloney, Democrat, New York, Gus Bilirakis, Republican, Florida, and Stephen Cohen, Democrat, Tennessee, on reintroduction of the Medicare Demonstration and Coverage of Low Vision Devices Act of 2017, H.R. 2050. This legislation will establish a national demonstration research project tasked with identifying the impact to Medicare and Medicaid recipients who are prescribed low vision devices over a certain threshold cost. As Congress looks for ways to improve healthcare costs, ACB will be urging the House of Representatives to support H.R. 2050 and move toward expanding greater independence for the millions of older Americans with severe vision loss. During the August congressional recess, ACB will be asking all of you to reach out to your members of Congress to obtain more sponsors for this legislation. Help us when the call goes out to make this legislation move one step closer to adoption. I need to comment briefly on the continuing developments surrounding ACB's efforts regarding accessible currency. As background, on October 3, 2008, and after more than 6 years of litigation, the district court ordered that the Secretary of the Treasury provide meaningful access to currency no later than the next redesign of each denomination. The district court entered this order in light of the government's stated intention of redesigning each denomination of currency every 7 to 10 years. Under the anticipated 7 to 10 year redesign schedule, the $20 note would have been redesigned between 2010 and 2013, the $50 note between 2011 and 2014, the $10 note between 2013 and 2016, and the $5 note between 2015 and 2018. Instead, the design of these denominations is today exactly as it was when the district court entered its order on October 3, 2008. In 2016, the government moved back the target date for the next currency redesign involving the $10 note from 2020 to 2026. Frustrated by the delays on the part of the government, as well as the lack of any redesign schedule for any denomination other than the $10 bill, ACB sought an order from the district court requiring that the $10 bill be made accessible by 2020 and all of the remaining denominations be made accessible by 2026. While this order was under consideration in the court, the Secretary of the Treasury advanced to the court that he has already complied with his legal obligation to make currency accessible by furnishing external currency readers to people with visual impairments. While the Secretary indicated that he still intends to proceed with adding a tactile feature in the next major redesign, he is doing so as a matter of policy as opposed to fulfilling a legal court requirement. The district court denied ACB's motion in January of 2017, and the case is now under appeal at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. We are asking the Court of Appeals to do two things. First, to order that the $10 bill be made accessible by 2020 and all of the remaining denominations be made accessible by 2026. Second, and equally, if not more important, we are asking that the Court of Appeals issue a ruling that external currency readers do not provide meaningful access to currency. We expect a decision from the Court of Appeals within the next 6 to 12 months. I want to publicly thank our attorney on this case, Jeffrey Levitke, for his persistence, determination, and dedication to our cause and the latest motion filed. Stay tuned for more news on the court. To help ACB achieve its mission and goals, ACB has ventured into the development of a new strategic plan, a strategic action plan, to help guide the organization in the future across five critical focus areas, including advocacy, policy and legislation, affiliates and membership, convention and meetings, development, and marketing and communications. The five focus areas were identified by ACB's Board of Directors as having the highest potential impact on our organization moving forward. The ACB Strategic Action Plan was then developed by the Board of Directors, the ACB Executive Director, and other national staff members, and select representatives from ACB's state and special interest affiliates. Each of the five focus areas has a set of goals, associated action steps, timeframes, and accountable leaders to help drive change and ensure completion of the objectives. Additionally, the plan identifies any resources required, such as people needed to do the work on the task, funding to get the job done, or outside resources needed, measures of success, and an evaluation process for each goal to ensure that the organization is moving in the right direction to get the job of ACB Strategic Action Plan completed. An executive summary is being drafted to be shared with leaders, and it will be posted on the ACB website. Eric Bridges will discuss the action plan in more detail in his report to the convention on Wednesday morning. ACB continues to make communication a high priority. The latest version of ACB Link has been downloaded over 5,000 times since its release last March. It provides access for iOS device users to a wide variety of information and programming. We have an Android version under development, and we are anticipating its release in the fall. I want to acknowledge the hard work of Jeff Bishop, who has been the lead person working on this app and with the app developer and has had the vision to bring such an app to a reality. It is an ACB Link is enhancing communication with affiliates, connecting users with ACB key publications, ACB Radio, ACB Report, and other useful features. Jeff has done all of these things as he has been in the process of moving to Seattle to begin a new career job with Microsoft later this month. Congratulations to Jeff. You are very talented, and I wish you great success. ACB Radio continues to be the preeminent radio broadcasting system run and operated by ACB and our broadcasters, with the main menu channel and its programming being the flagship. ACB Radio continues to be available on the telephone, where listeners can hear the seven ACB radio channels, including this convention. You can also listen to the ACB forum and the e-forum on our telephone system as well. In closing, the American Council of the Blind and our thousands of members continue to have a lot of work to do over the next several months. But overall, our affiliates and chapters all across this country are making a difference in so many ways. ACB proudly represents all people who are blind and visually impaired, regardless of economic status or functional ability. We advocate for a wide spectrum of programs and services for people of all ages and capabilities. Our work is important, and as you know, it isn't always easy. At times, it can be challenging, to say the least. Nonetheless, advocacy, in whatever form it takes, is our charge and our mission. When we win victories, they are even more exciting as they are hard fought, and we should continue to celebrate our successes as important steps in our advocacy mission. Working together, we can continue to make change happen, and I look forward to working hand in hand with all of you to make sure that all of our dreams for people who are blind become realities. Thank you very much.
Well, that just about does it for this month on Council Connection. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please leave us a message in the BSCB voicemail box at 617-923-4519. I'm your host, Steve Dresser, hoping you've enjoyed this month's show and inviting you to join us again in September for another edition of Council Connection. Take care and enjoy the rest of the summer.